Thank you, Wesley. For anyone who doesn't know, good morning, everyone. My name is Dawn. I am one of the pastors here at the Vineyard, and it's just been a pleasure to serve this community and serve this church. And honestly, our family couldn't be happier, so it's a blessing. Do I just feel like that?
This is crazy.
Sorry. So Luke is in Colorado Springs right now. As you might have seen on social media, he took a couple days to go fishing just for some soul care. That's one thing that I appreciate about this community is we're able to serve our community but also get some soul care. And his is, what is it? Fly fishing, yeah. So I'm gonna get some water. So Luke fly fishing. When we first got married, I actually didn't know that he fly fished. he had many different hobbies. One was basketball, hockey, and I shortly learned that he loves fly fishing. And I do have to say, in that announcement video that he made, he looked like he's not been sleeping very well, but it's because he's been sleeping in a van down by the river. I just had to add that one in. So today I have the honor of speaking to you today, and I want to start out this morning by sharing my top five reasons why I love Red Bluff. Number one, I've never had so many best friends with pools. They're just a phone call away. I ask the kids, I say, who do you want to go? Where do you want to go today? Whose house? Number two, the fishing is amazing. At least that's what I hear. I don't know because my husband fly fishes all the time. Thank you, Sacramento River. Number three, Luke and I don't have to shovel our cars out of the driveway in the winter just to drive our kids to school anymore. And if you look, that's me. I'm shoveling our driveway. Just kidding, it's just a picture we found on Facebook. But that's like what it was like in Wisconsin. Just to get the kids out of the school, out of our door, I had to shovel every morning in the winter. And that's our neighbor in the corner snow plowing our sidewalk. He actually always helped me in the morning and at night. Luke, I don't know where he was. He's fishing. Sorry. Okay. There's so many things to do around us, like hiking, biking, lakes, coffee shops, and the enjoy. And it's just a few of the things that I love to do around here. And on a serious note, Luke and I and our family have never felt so supported and so thankful for you all. As an example, the Nunez funeral that was held here on Thursday was an amazing attribute to the family, I think, and to the community. Just how everyone came together, planned it, made it work. It was great to see that come all together. So let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the crisp fall air, and I just pray that you would be with us as I share this message that you have. And just thank you for everyone that's here today. Pray that you would just open our hearts and our minds. Amen. Okay, so for the month of October, we're starting off a new sermon series called What is God Like? We're going to spend some time talking about the character of God, who God is, and what he's like. We'll look at the Bible and learn that God is good, God is loving, God is trustworthy, God is faithful, and so much more. So now let me give you a little brief story about myself. Most of you know me. I try to get to know people as much as I can, be as friendly as I can. I was raised in the church. My sister and I we're 15 months apart. Her and her husband actually pastor a church in Washington, D.C., so kind of got that. Who would have known? We're the fourth generation Christians in our family, and we have a great heritage. And when Luke and I first started pastoring, or working with churches 14 years ago, I didn't really truly appreciate that, but we do have just a great heritage, and that's something to look forward to. I always have many family members praying for me and encouraging my walk with God. Just kind of hard to find some of these days. When Luke and I first got married, we vowed three things in our relationship. Never to go into ministry. Never go and move to a small town. At the time, we lived in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I know I say that really funny to you, Minnesota. And it was a booming, beautiful city life, lots of places to spend all of your money when you make a lot of money. So never move to a small town. And we never moved to Wisconsin. We were living in Minnesota, which is only 2 hours away from Wisconsin, but for some reason, I did not want to move to Wisconsin. And lo and behold, we did all three of those in less than 3 years. So the moral of the story is never say never. For most of my life, I would describe my relationship with God as being somewhat distant. I never fully grasped God's love for me. Early in our marriage, there were two major events that challenged my relationship with God. And I slowly started misunderstanding God, and it caused me not to trust him. 8 months after Luke and I were married, I got pregnant with twins. And during my third month, I miscarried both of them. I struggled to communicate my emotions with God and Luke, and I felt lost and hopeless for quite a while. During this time of devastation of losing our twins, Luke and I were involved in a core group, and there is where I was able to share with people what I was actually going through. Women and men came alongside of me and prayed for me. Sorry, I'm way over here. I'm not even talking to you guys. through that time, through the core group, women and men came alongside of me, prayed for me, encouraged me, told me their stories of their loss of their children, as well as miscarriages. So I would encourage any of you to, if you haven't signed up for a core group, this is definitely the core groups are starting this week. It's a way that you can connect with a group, a smaller group. It's a safe place where you can ask questions that you can't normally do on a Sunday morning. Sometimes that's hard, but they're starting this week, so we have sign-up sheets. If you'd like to, if you have questions, please ask Wesley or Lisa Sandberg, and we will be more than willing to help you with that. And that definitely helped me get through my hard times. So 8 weeks after I miscarried, I went to my my doctor just to follow up appointment, and we found out that we were pregnant with Alana, our 14-year-old. And I was filled with fear, questions, doubt, excitement, and joy all at the same time. But I still had a hard time trusting God. So the second major, that was 8 months into our marriage. Luke wanted to start a family pretty fast, and I'm like, no, we gotta do the 5-year plan. That didn't quite work for us. He had other plans. So the second major event was when I found out that our youth pastor that I grew up with had been unfaithful to his wife multiple, numerous times with women in the church and inside the community. I took this very hard. It was because very, very hard, because he was like a brother to my sister and I. We were very close. Our families did a lot together. So this led me to start questioning my relationships that I encountered as a teenager growing up in the church. (Clears throat) So let me tell you a little bit about the story, or about the church that I grew up in. Our families that we met with, we did life together. We were all very close. We even spent holidays together and vacations together. The church gatherings were very expressive and eccentric. We loved to worship, clapping, raising hands, banners, just in worship for hours. That's the type of environment that I grew up in. And so I remember when Luke and I first started dating in college, it was Easter break, and I couldn't be alone. We couldn't be without him, so I asked him to come and visit. I think my parents had only met him one time before that for a brief dinner at the airport, when you could still enjoy the airport with your family before they board their planes. And so I asked him to come to Michigan, where I grew up, to Easter weekend with my family. And I'm sure he was looking forward to having a relaxing weekend and to get to know my parents and my family a little bit better. But lo and behold, no, we did not relax. We had Friday night church service, Saturday night church service, and a Sunday morning service that lasted 3 hours. So I remember one of the services, just looking over at Luke, I'm like, isn't this amazing? I just love my home church. There's nothing like it. And I'm not really sure what he was thinking, honestly. He didn't really know what he was getting into, I think. So as you can see, my church that I grew up in was a vital part in my life. So after the tragic news, I started questioning my relationship with God. Was he real? Did he really love me? Could he really be trusted? These events left me discouraged and full of doubt. During this time of disbelief, I was really trying to find my own identity as a wife, a mother, and a Christian, a follower of Jesus. Meanwhile, Luke was involved in the ministry and growing closer to Jesus, but I was still wounded from my miscarriage and struggling to trust God. I didn't know what steps to take next. I was stuck. I couldn't move forward in my relationship with Luke or my relationship with God because I had no trust and felt very numb and more fearful of God than actually knowing that he loved me, that I was deeply loved by him. I remember nights when Luke and I would start reading the Bible together, and we'd try to read the Bible. He tried to encourage me a lot during this time. He didn't just go off without me. He tried really hard. And we would spend nights reading the Bible together, and I would question everything, and it left me with more confusion and frustration. At the time, even though my dreams of being married and having children had all come true, I still wasn't happy. I was full of doubt, fear, and still felt like a failure. I was drowning. I was depressed, lonely, and didn't trust anyone, especially God. I was a mess, and I was also pregnant with McKenna, our 12-year-old, so my emotions were skyrocketing. All of that changed when I began to have a better understanding of who God actually is and what he really is like. My point is this. No one is probably more misunderstood or lied about than God. Consider these common popular ideas that people say about God. God is always angry with me. God blesses me when I am good and punishes me when I am bad. God just wants me to try harder. God helps those who help themselves. And every single one of these ideas are false narratives. We should stop believing them. They aren't true statements about who God is, and yet there's so many of us that tend to believe that at times. And this is why we're going to spend the month of October studying who God really is. Even in the first century, when the New Testament was written, people believed ideas about who God is, or believed false ideas of who God really is. Listen to how the Apostle Paul, one of Jesus' earlier followers and someone who planted churches all over the Roman Empire, listen to what he wrote in the church in the city of Corinth. And we're going to turn our Bibles, or you can get your phones, to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. And it reads, I'm going to grab another drink of water. Sorry. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. This passage of scripture helps us know that while there are false ideas of who God is, with God's help, we can make Jesus known by using God's mighty weapons, which the Bible teaches us are things like faith, hope, and love, and prayer. Those are our weapons. We can help people come to know who God really is, what he's really like, and tell them the truth about him. So I've come to believe that God is far more loving, far more trustworthy, far more beautiful than we often realize. So back to my life a little bit. So there I was, full of doubt, fear, and like a failure, feeling like a failure. As I was sharing earlier, I went through a difficult season in my life where I was depressed, lonely, and didn't trust anyone, especially God. I didn't know where to go or where to start in order to grow my relationship with God. But one night, about 13 years ago, Luke and I were at a church service, and I was just sitting back in the way back. That's how I supported him. sitting back there and just observing the whole environment. And an older man, one of our friends, our family friends, his name was Mark, and he walked up to me and he asked me if he could pray for me. Now, you have to understand that I was not involved in church whatsoever. I was scared and just didn't know where to start. And I was still really hurt and wasn't ready to trust God. So in high school, I ran track. And the best picture I can describe to you about my relationship with Luke is that is a relay race. And I was the runner with the baton, and Luke was the next teammate to get my baton. Only I couldn't reach him, you know, like the first runner. And then the second runner is like starts taking off a little bit and is waiting for the baton. Luke was just going, and I couldn't even catch up to pass that baton to him because he just kept going with God. I couldn't catch up to him in his relationship with God is how I felt. So I actually felt like this for a couple years in our marriage. Back to the story. I told Mark he could pray for me, and after he prayed for me, he said, "Dawn, God loves you, and he wants you to physically and emotionally join your husband." In ministry. Now is the time, and God loves you, and he has a plan for your life, too. I was there. Thank you. And I think that's key because, you know, Luke is very eccentric, and we both love people, but we definitely encourage one another in our strengths and weaknesses, and we work together as a team. We always have, even when we were dating in college, we did landscaping together. I mean, some couples can't work together, but we've always worked together. So anyway, sorry, backtracking. God has a plan for you too. So that was it. I was wrecked. I asked God for forgiveness of doubting him, and I felt the urge to start praying for others right there on the spot and join Luke. So I physically got out of my chair and started praying for people, and that was the start of our journey together in ministry. I asked God for forgiveness of doubting him, and just wanted to start this journey with Luke. So God became real in my life, and it was evident that he had a plan for me. While my life isn't always easy, God has become my strength, and my identity is found in him. He turned my mess into a message that I can share with all of you. So for the rest of this month, Luke, Wes, and I are going to be spending some time looking deeply into Scripture and learn more about God's character. I hope you all continue to join us as we come to know God more and experience his love and presence. So that is my message today. And would you guys all stand with me so we can create a space for the Holy Spirit to engage our hearts and minds? And one other question I had while we're all for a time of reflection is, what comes to mind when you try and describe who God is and what he's really like in your life? So it's just something that you can really reflect on for a while. Dear Lord, I thank you for just showing us your love, and I pray that you would just outpour your love on everyone this morning. I pray that if there is anyone here today that is just questioning your love and your plan, I just pray that you'd speak to them in a sweet, small, still voice, Lord, and that they would know that you're there.